Hi there, this is Dan Delta Collins. You're listening to Wandering DMs. Wandering DMs is broadcast live every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on twitch.tv/wanderingdms and also youtube.com/wanderingdms. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hi everyone,
welcome
to Wandering DMs. I'm Paul.
And I'm Dan. And we're so happy that you joined us today on Wandering DMs because we're going to do another attempt at our dungeon design dash where we attempt to design an entire dungeon in one single hour. We've tried this in season three and we did not succeed. We took our best shot at it, but it took us two episodes. It took us 2 hours and we expect to just take one. So today we're gonna pull on our girdles and try to get the whole thing in 1 hour this time. So buckle up and get ready for that, kids.
Yeah. So stop lollygagging, Dan. Let's get going. Let's talk
right.
about very quickly what we have on hand. I've got my Matt Fitch Adventure Design Desk Book here, volumes 1 and 2. You've got some charts. Yeah.
I have my copy of Original D&D here for that. I have some printouts from other things, and I have copious spreadsheets that I'm looking at on my other monitor right now. And we have dice. I have game science. Sharp dice here, so we're doing this fairly as possible.
Yep.
Except for that one that I just lost. Okay, that one's going to be biased. But but other than that, it's going to be totally fair what we're doing here today.
Awesome. For folks who want to follow along, we will. There will be links to the books that we use for this stuff in the video itself, in the video description. So feel free to follow along, but we'll try to put whatever we can on screen when possible, but it may just be us reading a lot of books and shouting at each other. So let's start with a map. Let's start with a map, Dan. I'm trying to hit the gas so we can get this done in an hour.
Please do. I believe, Paul, that you have picked a map from one of our heroes of map making course, Dyson Logos, that we like to pick. So a map with a hexagonal theme, which is really warms my heart, Paul.
Yep. Yeah. So there you go. Nine rooms, a nice little dungeon here, some interesting details going on. You can see I've pre-numbered all the rooms and whatnot, so we're ready to go. And Dan, before this, you and I discussed what we agreed that we were going to do a first level dungeon, right?
I feel like that's my first question when I come into this, is what level it is. So first level it is.
Yep. Great.
You can run through right. run your introductory PCs through Wandering DM's adventure.
I'm going to suggest let's kick this off like we did last time with a roll on the locations table, which will give us a sort of four section, something, something of the something, somethings for our title, sort of a title of the adventure, if you will. So I'm going to ask you to roll, Dan, and I'm going to look on the chart and tell you what we get, okay? So these
is that
are
percentile
these are
mix? Is that what that is?
Yeah, four percentile
yeah.
rolls.
Okay.
So
all right. Well, I got
to structure.
Okay, I'm grabbing D10s. Not totally
yep.
happy about that. But anyway, how about 28?
28 gives us crumbling. Crumbling.
Ah,
good.
I like that. I like that.
Yep.
And 36.
That is Dungeons of the. So crumbling Dungeons of the something. I'm gonna jump over here to our. Oh shoot! Give me a second here. I want to put the document up on screen so we can start writing.
As Paul is doing this, we're gonna be pretty furious what we're doing today. So if a viewer has a comment or you think we ought to add something that we're overlooking, super chat is an option on YouTube. So we'll be sure to take a look at. If someone super chats a message to us today, we'll definitely include that.
Crumbling Dungeon of the. Sorry if that typing just then was horribly. I'm going to try and remember to hit my mute button when I'm typing here because I don't want a rumbling type. So go ahead. Give me the third one. What's our third roll, Dan?
50. 50 on the nose, Paul.
All right. So again, folks following along, this is volume one of the Adventure Design Desk Book. 50 for the feature. Is ice.
Interesting. Is there one more here?
One more. Second word of the feature.
96.
96 gives us Worm. Crumbling Dungeon of the Ice Worm.
Okay. Now, I'll point out, we had a suggestion on chat for Crumbling Dungeons of the Bee Lord.
The Bee Lord? I love it. Because of the
hexes. That's pretty good. Right? Yeah, right? That's pretty good.
Do you like that better than Ice Worm?
Jeez, I love them both. You're asking me to pick between two of my children, Paul. I can't do that. Well, they're both great.
How about Crumbling Dungeon of the Ice Bees? Smash them together.
That's it. Yep. Okay. That's it. Thank you, ADB.
Good to find out.
Does ADB stand for a dungeon bee? Has a sentient bee gotten on our chat today? I'm really glad you did.
In our Google Doc here, you can see we've got a table for some wandering monsters and a chunk here for the background text. But I'm going to skip all that because that's stuff that you and I, Dan, will probably fill out later off camera.
Okay.
Unless you feel like any of that's super important for us to hit, I think more interesting is to key it in, right?
Great.
Great. Do it. So I'm going to jump on down here to our...
That's actually the reverse of how I usually do it myself, but this is fine.
You usually write the background?
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Or I actually fill out the wandering table first and then the encounters.
I like to do the wandering table last because then I feel like I have a better feel for the dungeon and I know what kinds of things should or shouldn't appear. Okay. So I'm going to jump between this text where we can't see the map and this view for folks so that you can see the map that we're talking about. So I'll start off here. And let's just dive into room number one, Dan.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I do not have the dungeon stocking chart in front of my face. Do you?
I do. Now, arguably, like what I tend to do is I tend to pick a couple of the most important locations first. Maybe one or two of them on this map and kind of design them intentionally and then go to random methods after that. But
okay,
we could do something.
Let me hit you with a couple of other inspirational points that we could pull out of the Adventure Design Desk Book. For those wondering, again, the initial tables here are Matt Finch's Adventure Design Desk Book, which has been reprinted in a single volume text, I think, on DriveThruRPG. I'm trying to remember what the heck it's called. What do you know, Dan?
I'll look it up. Tome of Adventure Design by Matt Finch.
Tome of Adventure Design.
Tome of Adventure Design.
Yeah.
Thank you, William.
Yeah. So the other interesting thing is we can generate a mission, we can generate the villain's plan, and we can generate the details of some kind of very interesting custom boss monster or monster to appear in this thing. Although I feel like we're already well on our way with it being me related.
I agree with that.
So, I don't know. How about a villain's plan? Shall we generate a villain's plan? See if that's inspiring to us.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite ones to do. What are those bees up to? Are they sentient? Are they just like bees? I don't know. Villain's plan is telling me is here on page 19, so I'm going to ask you to roll some more dice for me, Dan. Again, percentile.
Great.
Go ahead, give me an initial percentile roll.
76.
76 gives us political power. The villain seeks to gain direct or indirect political power at some level of government. That seems really odd for bees. Give me a second roll.
Unless there's multiple hives in the wilderness, and this one's trying to take control of the hive cluster.
Good. I like that. Give me a second one. I just want another one to choose from, just in case.
85.
That gives us reputation. The villain is trying to enhance his own reputation, either as an invincible villain or as a good person, which would be an infiltration tactic. Political power, right? This is very social. We have very social bees here, Dan.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Bees are very social. They have a whole hierarchy.
Or could be that we have something like some kind of sentient ice thing who uses bees as his primary minion, right? We could have an evil beekeeper, right? Who's
oh, I like that.
Like, right? Like the maybe. Weird.
You know, I like the queen. So yeah. I like the bee. I like there being a queen bee. I like there being a queen bee, possibly like with wizard powers, who is trying to expand her icy domain into other giant honeybee domains, which are not normally icy. I mean, you know, giant bees aren't normally ice natured. So this one has new ice powered magic and is trying to expand her domain that way.
That's wonderful, because of course then now I'm expecting that we're also going to have some fire bees and some water bees. No, wait, ice is water. We're gonna have fire bees and other elemental bees, mud bees. I don't
Earth
know.
Earth bees, right. Lava bees. Sure.
Great. Great. Fantastic.
Great.
Any of these locations jumping out at you, Dan, as I want an intentional placement. To me, 1 and 6 are the obvious big rooms, but I'm really intrigued by room 7. What's going on there? There's like a platform and stairs down into something, some interesting space.
And I'm interested in 9, but 7, I feel like maybe that's like where the larvas get thrown into a nutrient bath before they burst out.
Interesting. I thought it was going to be full of honey. No, not full of honey.
Oh.
Maybe both. There's pools that larvae are thrown and the walls and the ceiling are dripping with honey.
Absolutely.
Honey icicles. Exactly what that is. Right, because they're ice bees.
Right. Right.
Great.
And it's frozen on top, right? So you've got a crust. You've got a crust on the honey thing, right? And you can break through it. You can get honey, but you'll have possibly bursting larvae at you.
Awesome. I'm gonna mute myself real quick here so you don't get me banging on the keys.
Great. All right, so while Paul is doing that, and we can still hear you, Paul.
Can you?
Yeah, unless I'm hallucinating. Unless I've heard what Paul does so much, I'm just hallucinating it now. So while Paul is doing that, let's think about what we're going to do in the other places. I feel like, so William's saying 9 looks like it has some sort of ice crystal in it already. I agree. Looks like there's a pond there. I think most of us are agreeing. 1 and 6. Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think of how what's here in room 7. Are there larvae? Is that a monster we have to fight? Do we need some monster stats? You know what? If I just pull the keyboard into my lap, you guys won't hear me. But give me a heads up in the chat if the keyboard noise is bad.
William's saying it's okay, and he doesn't mind what was happening already. So.
Okay. Great.
I think you can.
So. Do we need monster stats for these ice larvae? Right, maybe I want a stat block for ice.
Now I do feel I think we should fill in the stat blocks later. I think that can be a post process thing. So the one awkward thing is that giant bees are actually not a monster that appears in original D&D. So we're going to have to kind of customize some stuff. Perhaps the larvae are similar in stature to giant rats.
Now, aren't giant bees in like the first monster manual?
They are not. They are not.
Oh, okay.
You had to wait until AD&D Monster Manual 2 in 1983 before you ever got stats for giant bees.
Okay. Well, we got to make them icy anyway, so that requires a whole thing. Yep. But what I'm going to do, Dan, is I'm just copying the stat block here, and I just put the name, Ice Bee Larva.
Great.
So I've got honey icicles dang from the ceiling over an ice-crusted pit of, what is it? What did you tell me we have here?
Frozen honey.
Okay, it is. But what I'm forgetting is the detail about the larva. You said something.
It's frozen on top, right? And mm-hmm. giant bee honey is valuable, so you could break through it to get some. Except that larvae pop up when you do that.
Okay, I'll say honey icicles dangle from the ceiling over an ice crusted pit of frozen honey teeming with ice bee larvae. Perfect. Great. Room 7, done. Is there treasure? Any treasure?
Our viewers.
The honey itself?
The honey itself.
Yeah, okay, great. Yeah. Okay, so we're focusing now on 9. I'm going to jump back to the map here. What do we like about 9?
So our viewers are telling me that there's giant bees in the Moldvay rules, and actually I'm failing to find them. Someone tell me what that's under. Is it under G for giant bee? Is that it? Killer bee. Maybe you guys are talking about killer bees, I think.
There we go. Thank you for people and exposing our audience to my terrible spelling. great. Thanks. Thank you for the spell check, friends. all right, let's not get hung up on this, Dan. We agreed we're gonna stat them later, and we gotta finish this thing in an hour.
Agreed.
We're already 20 minutes in.
I know. We should place where the queen bee is and what's interesting about her location, I think.
Great. Well, I mean, I think she should be in 9, right? That's her private quarters. And we've got some giant crystal looking thing and looks like a pool and a platform.
I propose. Okay, let me make a counter proposal that she's in 1, which seems weird. But let's say that the northern opening is blocked by a wall of ice, so that generally people have to run through either 2, 4, 5, 6 to get into 1, or they have to come in with magic that won't be available at first level.
Okay, great. Yeah, I like that. They also could come down 3, 7, 8, 6, 1. Right, they can go down either side to get to the center.
Exactly.
Great. Exactly. Okay. All right. So she's at 1. What do we have in 1? Again, it looks like we have a big pool in the center. We have a raised platform, some statuary. That's exciting stuff. Right. Queen Bee is maybe in a throne at the top of the raised platform area.
Totally. Yep. Totally.
What's going on with that pool?
See, now I want that to be the magic honey. What do bees produce other than honey? Like, is that it? Or I feel like there's some other chemical they produced.
I used to live next door to a guy who was a beekeeper. And one of the things that he used to give me was little pellets of pollen, raw pollen that they would gather before it was processed by them. And the claim was you could mix this in your tea or whatever, and if you ate it, you were exposing yourself to sort of local pollens, which would help build up your immunity for, you know, fighting off allergies.
Okay.
And then Vance is pointing out, and actually several people in chat are pointing out royal jelly, of course.
Got it. Thank you. That's what I was trying to think of. So we could adjust 7 to be a giant pit of pollen, which is like creepy. And then put our magic royal jelly in 1. That, frankly, that very idea upsets me so much that that's what I want in 7 now.
Yeah. I kind of like the idea. It's almost like a ball pit, right? It's like a little kid's ball pit.
Yeah, right.
But they're fist-sized pollen balls. Maybe there's a better word for that. We'll edit later. Teeming with ice bee larvae. It's kind of gross.
It's very gross.
Awesome. Okay, we got the throne room. Queen bee sits in a throne on the platform at the north end. And large pool of honey. Do we want this one to be honey?
I think so, or call it royal jelly. I like either.
Pool of royal jelly. Separate her from what? What else is in this room? Is she here alone?
Let's see.
She got guardians?
She's got to have guardians. Someone suggested a slime monster in the pool.
Come on, a royal. Wait, what kind of jelly? There's a monster that's a jelly, right?
There's many. There's an ochre jelly. Yeah, okay. Is I think what you're ochre thinking jelly. Of? Yeah.
Yeah,
that would be appropriate. I'm a
royal jelly. I don't know what to write here. Is the whole pool a one giant ochre jelly? What, remind me about ochre jelly.
That's gonna be the treasure.
Is an ochre jelly, how does that fit our level one characters? Is that gonna
I think that's good. I think that's good for another adventure. I think we should table that. I think that the queen should have some outside guardians, and the pool should basically be the treasure. I think that's the way I'm leaning.
I want to steal this idea from Joshua in the chat here. He says eating the royal jelly should give you B mutations 50-50, whether those are beneficial or harmful.
Oh, great. Well, yeah, we'll do that.
A large pool of royal jelly grants B mutations 50. Oops.
And or ice power mutations.
All right.
It could be a matrix. It could be a matrix of B mutations and ice mutations.
Harmful. Large pool of royal jelly grants ice B mutations to those that consume it. 50-50 if these are beneficial or harmful. And I'm just going to drop in here two stat blocks. I'm going to put in a stat block for Ice B. What do we call them? Guardians or Ice B Royal Guard, maybe?
Yes.
Have some number of those. Yep. And then we should have the Queen as well.
Right. So just for now, we could say the Queen is...
I put all of this in the wrong room. Sorry, just noticed I put that under 9, and this is actually going under 1.
Cut and paste.
Boom. Copy, paste. Done.
Thank you.
Great. Okay.
So, let me see. Okay, so I'm just going to fill in just for placeholders here, some equivalent. So I'm going to say the queen is as a giant wasp. That actually is a thing in Runes of D&D, plus 4th level wizard.
Cool. Okay.
That's cool. Kind of appropriate. We'll face that later. And then the Ice Bee Royal Guard can be like half as big as a giant wasp. Giant wasps are pretty darn bad in Original D&D, so that's for a first level dungeon. I think that's appropriate.
Cool. Great.
Just give you an idea before we fill out the full stats later.
Excellent. Okay. Okay. We have only 9 rooms of the leading entry 10. Okay. We've got the Ice Queen Bee in 1. We've got an interesting stuff going on 7. What about making 9 a treasury?
Absolutely. Sure.
There's a big crystal in it. There's another pool. This is our second or possibly third pool going on here.
Right.
There's a platform. I feel like that crystal has got to be something awesome.
Oh, okay. I'm finally seeing the crystal. You've said that a couple times.
Far side.
Viewers have said that a couple times. Right. Yeah. Interesting. Is that like a protrusion from a magical glacier that when the giant bees lick it, they suddenly become mutated with ice powers?
Wait, I'm trying to make it treasure, Dan. I'm trying to make it good.
Got it. Great.
Something cool for the. I mean, now it could be like the source of ice magic or something, right? This is what made these bees ice bees rather than something else, right? So this is some kind of magical ice power crystal, some crystal that grants you. Maybe I don't need to fill it in right now, but I'm thinking something that has, you know, charges that you can do stuff like, I don't know, shoot ice darts or make it a wall of ice or blah blah blah, various ice
command bees, yeah.
Or command.
I think we're all leaning in that direction. Is right. The crystalline nine is going to be magically giving you ice or command powers. Yeah.
Magic crystal. Giving up on the flowery writing for now. I'm just going to say magic crystal in corner. France. Powers. Wall of ice. Command bees, etc. Well, that sounds awesome. We'll probably give that crystal some kind of interesting sounding name. What else is in here, Dan? There's this pool. What's in the pool? Or what is the pool of? Maybe it's just frozen. It's just like a frozen water, which is kind of funny, right? I don't know.
I've seen a fight scene
where there's...
And it's runoff from the crystal, right? So the crystal is like a glacier that's protruding in here. It's slowly melting, and it's melting into that pool.
Excellent. So is the crystal... Sorry, so is the crystal a thing... In my mind, the crystal is a thing the players could take. It sounds to me like you think it's like refrigerator-sized or bigger.
I agree with that. They could chip off pieces.
They could chip off pieces
and come back
ice iron stones they're like iron stones, but they slowly melt, so they only last a day or two.
Exactly. Yeah. That's it.
Corner. And chip off pieces to each split here. As an iron stone that melts in, I'm going to say 1 to 3 days. D6 days.
Okay, I'm going to pitch three magic powers that you get.
Hang on. The pool, I want to say that runoff has created an icy patch on the floor. Causing those who walk on it to slip and fall. Something? I don't know. Yep. I can detail that in a minute. Now I feel like there's got to be some kind of guardian or monster in here, possibly up on the ledge. Okay.
Absolutely.
Go on.
Well, if they're bees and they're flying and they avoid the icy patch, so you player characters are stuck with it, but they're flying, they don't suffer it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I put some bee guards in here.
Ice bee guardians will launch from ledge north and crystal.
Great.
You wanted to pitch powers?
I'm going to pitch three powers here. I'm just stealing from a potions table, actually. So when you take off a chip, it's one of the following three things. It's either animal control bees or invulnerability, because you get hard like a sheath of ice, or clairaudience.
Clairaudience.
Yeah. Okay, you know what? Change that to Claire Olfactoriness. clear olfactoriness. You get super smelling powers.
Clearly, it doesn't like that word. But that's fine.
Yeah, that's a...
Yeah.
That's a Dan special. That's a Wandering DM's Dan special for you. You get a new word today.
Clair olfactoriness. Great.
Yeah.
Okay. So cool. That gave us rooms 1, 7, and 9, which 33% of intentional placement feels pretty good to me. Did you want to do one more or do you want to start randomizing?
I would have been happy with even just one or two there.
Yeah, 3 feels like we're going too deep. So
we're in the back. We're in the back half hour. We should go to random fill-ins.
So let's we've done room 1. So let's jump to room 2.
Great. Got my Moldvay contents table here, which this morning I discovered was actually almost identical to original D&D, as well as the treasure table. So whichever one you're looking at, pretty much the same.
Oh my goodness. William is suggesting it's Clair Scent Ians. Okay. how about we switch roles here, Dan? I will roll and you tell me what goes in the room.
You got it.
Okay. So what do I need to roll? Pair?
Yeah, D6s is what we're doing now.
I got a 2.
Now that's a monster.
Okay. Great. How are we? What did we do last time for monsters? I feel like we did the thing that I used to
customized.
Do
okay, that's the
you have that. Stuff. That's what I wanted to hear.
I have some customized tables here. So roll a d6 for what level of monster?
Okay, I got a 2 again.
Okay, now that's a first level monster. Roll a d12, and I'll tell you a specific monster which is appropriate at the first level.
Great. I got a 1.
How about a giant centipede? How about giant centipedes, which have kind of weak poison?
Great. So I am coming in here into this dock, and I'm going to put giant centipedes. Now, looking at the room, I'm seeing like some little... Dan, your typing is actually quite loud, I think.
I am.
I'm hearing it.
I will stop quite a bit. Thank you.
So maybe you can lay off the keyboard there. I'm seeing a couple alcoves with something. I don't know. What are those, torches? Or I don't think they're statues. They're pillars. I don't know what's in there. Little circles. Little tiny circles is what Dyson has drawn for us. And we have giant centipedes. Any you want to add any details to this room? It looks mostly empty, and just these interesting alcoves. How about the alcoves contain shards of magically glowing ice?
Great. Or I was thinking pipes to a location underground that's throwing up frozen fumes into the room, making it cold.
That'd be the first time we're adding something weirdly mechanical.
Okay, great.
That seems a little odd, a little counter to the bees thing.
Glowing crystals is good.
Is there anything bee related we can put in there? Okay. Oh, I'm just gonna say glowing shards of magical ice. Emily, my room. Any detail you want me to add about the centipedes?
I want you to roll a d6 and thereby determine how many there are.
3. I got 3.
There are 3 of them.
Great.
I think they've been attracted to the lights, and when you try to take one, then they jump out at you.
Are they in the walls and they're going to like emerge from holes? Are they climbing around on the ceiling? Are they just in the alcoves? They're just crawling around in the alcoves?
Yeah, I think they're crawling around the back.
They're attracted. Yeah, if they're attracted. Yeah. Well, it's behind Chris Coles and will attack if.
All right, I'll say Joshua and I were thinking similarly, but now we're moving in a different direction from that.
Do we need to roll for treasure, or that was built into that initial roll?
Also a d6? Roll nope, that's a separate roll.
Got a 5. One.
No treasure.
No treasure. Very good. All right. Rolling on then. Let's do room 3, or unless you want to do 4 because that's a progression towards.
Let's do 3. We'll do it in numerical order. Okay.
Great.
I'm a number kind of guy.
3 is also more or less empty, except we've got like a big block in the center and kind of a big block on the north end.
Okay, so some of us have been trying to go, how does the crumbling theme work in here? So I feel that those blocks are big chunks of the ceiling that have fallen down, and maybe there's more chunks to go. Should they be? Great. So here's what are they? Are they stone? Are they wax? Are they ice?
Oh, wax. We haven't done anything with wax, but is it like frozen wax because it's ice? Fallen from the ceiling in the center and north side of this room. I feel like we just forced our roll into a trap.
Yep. Right. There you go. Okay. We're thinking the same thing right then. Let's see here. Okay, I'm going to roll for a level here. Okay, I'm going to pitch a thing. If people poke around with the fallen blocks, a shard might fall on the explorer because it's all cracked.
Can we just say that anyone walking around in the north half of the room, because that seems like where these blocks are. Can we just say like any movement around the north side of the room might cause a large chunk of frozen wax to fall on somebody, right?
Definitely. That's it.
Large.
As Paul's typing that, I'll tell the viewers that's probably going to be like 2d6 damage. We'll fill those stats in later, but that's probably going to be on the order of like 2d6 save for half type damage. Might hit one or two people.
That's actually exactly the detail I was about to ask for. So, thanks, Dan. Now, may cause? Is there a chance that they'll cause it or definitely cause? Or...
I would say the standard in classic D&D is like 2 and 6, right? So if let's say you spend more than a single minute in the walking around the north end, there's a 2 and 6 chance you get hit by it.
What I've written here is anyone moving through the north half of the room has a 2 and 6 chance to cause a large chunk of frozen wax to fall on them, causing 2d6 damage, save for half.
Great.
We can leave the detail for how frequently to do that, I think.
I agree.
To the DM.
I'm gonna roll to see if there's treasure in that room, and the roll comes up no.
Oh, this happened to us, I think, in the last time we did this, Dan, where there was like no treasure at all. Yeah. But okay, let's push on because we still got 4 or 5 rooms here to do. So we're down to the
I'm gonna start rolling, and while Paul types is what we're gonna do here. Great. So in room 4, rolling my D6 here. Game science. Totally fair. I got a 5, which means that room is empty.
Oh, that's interesting. This would be room 4? Empty?
Yep.
What is going on in room 4? We've got some whole lot of pillars, it looks like. I feel like I want to write something about it, so...
Okay, these are extra large balls of pollen, and The area has tremors, and there's a 2 in 6 chance that they all start rolling around and smash into you.
That's a trap. I thought this was empty.
Okay.
I was just going to add color.
Great.
So I was just going to add color, and we already have pollen over at 7, so I feel like let's just say that what I was going to say is ice. I just want to thematically give the right. If the players have come in through the north and they went through 2 and they were like, weird glowing ice and centipedes. They haven't really felt the bees yet. So as we come into 4, I want to hint more at bees. So maybe the ceiling's held aloft by huge pillars of frozen wax. The walls have frozen honey icicles. But just generally little flavor like that. Vaulted ceiling held aloft by pillars of frozen wax, honey icicles. The end. Otherwise,
we're very good.
5. Now, 5 is interesting. You'll notice is I put there's a little number in there because there's this weird little alcove off the hallway with something in it.
Right.
I don't know what.
Right.
What is that? A couple of squares.
Yeah, could be. So obviously, normal dungeons, that would be boxes or something like that. Maybe they've been dragged in here by the bees.
Steven says we could put larvae inside the columns, but again, I'm going to lean on the fact that the dice told us that room's empty. No monsters, no traps.
Right. Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah. And I think that's it's nice to give them a room where they're finding like frozen honey and like I'm imagining the DM described things like, oh, it's kind of like weird yellow icicles, and if they taste them, it tastes sweet. Like that's who tastes the icicles, but maybe someone might.
I've seen DMs say that their players routinely lick everything in the dungeon is what I've been told.
Wouldn't it be interesting? what did you get for room 5?
Okay, I got special, unfortunately, which of course throws it back to us to come up with something creative. I'm making some rolls.
ADB says it looks like treasure, and my gut is leaning into like, is this something that was left behind by previous failed exploration of this area by other treasure hunters? I'm imagining. Hear me out. Like, there's some boxes or chests, and you open them up, and there's like beekeeper suits in them, maybe? What's the tools they use that like produces the smoke? Like a smoke little hand pumpy smoke producing thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. And it's covered over in ice, so you have to chip through the ice in order to get at it.
Great.
I like that.
Remains of a previous edition sit in this alcove, including ice encrusted boxes holding beekeeping suits and smoke producing. I wish I knew what the heck the name is. I'm gonna have to look up the name of that. That's an actual thing that beekeepers use, right? That
right
smokers.
I'm sure one of our viewers can tell us what that is.
I mean, now this is D&D, so it could just be like a wand of smoke that produces smoke, which can cause anything within the smoke to become placid and docile.
Yes, that's really good. I like that a lot, actually.
Wand of smoke. I don't know. Let's say 7 charges.
Okay, now, so as I do a Google here, I'm seeing that there's one theory that bees interpret smoke as sign of a forest fire, that it's illusory forest fire. So it could be a wand of illusion that only produces illusions of smoke.
I don't know why you got ram my awesome, very custom magic item into something that pre-exists.
No. I'm just giving options.
Wand that shoots smoke.
I'm just giving options. Do that.
Okay. Anyway, we can come back. We can edit this thing. But basically, a wand that produces smoke that will cause the beast to become docile or fleet, something like that. Beasts don't like
this.
That
is the point in the show where we're yelling at each other, as predicted earlier.
No, stop ruining my smoke wand.
I'm really invested in the smoke wand now.
I'm pretty sure any player of mine would immediately hold it between their lips, carry it around this kind of wand that's slowly trailing smoke wherever they go. Okay, we got two rooms left. What's in six?
Great. I mean, my gut says six needs to be the central hive that has a bunch of bees in it, but and the dice tell me monsters are here.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you want to go to random monster suggestion, or do you want to put more basic bees in here?
I mean, bees, right? If we came down two, four, five, we still haven't seen a damn bee yet. I think there's got to be bees here.
I agree with that. Okay, so these will be one hit die ice bees.
Yeah. Great. How many? I feel like a lot. It's got to be. It's a big room.
Agreed. How about eight? We can do eight. We could do more.
Eight ice bees, sure. Yeah. Anything else to say about the central hive? It's an interesting space because we've kind of got. According to the illustration, we've got benches and we've got some big platforms on either side, and we've got the entryway down to nine, as well as the door back up to one. How do I even get up to the door to one now that I'm looking at this map? I gotta climb or something, or fly because I'm a bee. I don't know.
Yeah.
But why are there stairs in here in general when there are bees, I wonder? What's going on here? I feel like the queen ice bee is actually like an anthropomorphic, human / bee hybrid. Yeah. I don't know why I picture her that way, but that's what I want.
Okay, how about that? So she's preparing to take over human communities, right? So she has prepared an amphitheater, expecting that she was going to have human minions in here that she would come out and address from the high platforms. So it hasn't happened yet. But she's preparing for human audiences at some point.
Can I suggest that it has happened, and that there, in addition to ice bees in room six, we also have some normal humans dressed as bees who have been charmed by the queen ice bee, and they're wearing bee costumes. Excellent.
And they're very cold.
They got their bee mittens on and their
great
their bee hats. How many normal humans are in here?
Four.
Only four. Okay.
I think they should be in beekeeper costumes, because I find beekeeper costumes creepy, frankly.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're in beekeeper costumes.
And you're going to come in, you're going to think that they're controlling the bees, but it's the other way around.
There you go. We'll expand on that text later. That's a thing we can do in post. We're down to the last 5 minutes. We gotta fill in this last room, Dan. What's in room number eight? Yeah. Room number eight, I'll remind you, is in between this room we just filled and the larva room. It's kind of an interesting little side room. Looks like it's got almost looks kind of altar-y to me, or a little platform on there on the side with some stairs up.
There's more stairs up.
Yeah.
Dice say trap. Now my gut kind of feels this is a good place for like a side secondary monster. What do you think? Trap or monster?
Can we incorporate those together? So again, now it looks my brain is immediately going to some kind of religious thing. So like there's like a little statue of maybe the queen ice bee here, and if you muck with it, it will animate an attack.
Great.
Excellent. Okay, so let's plug that one in. Any treasure?
Did I say no?
Treasure. Still, I feel like, well, this is something we did last time, right? Is we took a final treasure pass because because there was not enough treasure, frankly, and I'm a little worried about the treasure quantity of this thing.
I have a couple suggestions.
Cool. Okay. What do you got?
Okay, now in number one, we should be, and this dungeon is about big enough, I think, at first level for maybe about 2,000 for us silver pieces of treasure. So I think that the royal jelly in room one, you should be able to collect 1,000 silver pieces worth and take it away.
Okay, sure. Put that note in there.
Yep. And then maybe the humans in six. Oh, you know, well, I guess also one. Maybe the humans in six have carried in some jewelry. They could have like 500 silver pieces.
Carrying 500 SP worth of jewelry under their beekeeper costumes.
Yep. And then maybe we could put like 500 worth in eight, if they, like in the altar area, in that shrine area.
Sure.
It's kind of what it feels like to me.
Can I say that 500 silver pieces worth of offerings are laid at the feet of the statue?
I love it.
That's nice and enticing.
Like a collection ball.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, great. What have we not done here, Dan, is we have not filled in the background or any notes. The wandering monster chart still to go here. I don't know if we win? That's my question. Did we win? Did we do it in an hour?
I think we filled in, you know, what we're going to do in the encounter areas. And I almost feel like the wandering table is going to be, we almost know what's going to be there. We're going to have bees. We're going to have controlled humans. We're going to have centipedes. At least we know at least what half of what's on there.
Great.
I could pitch another three things right now if you want. But even so, we fill in the encounter areas. I feel like that's, I feel like we won.
I think so. I think we did it. Holy crap.
Did we do that? Is that what we meant? Is that what we set up to do? I think we did that, right? You tell us. I think we did. Was that it?
Ash is recommending a wandering bee vizier. Yep. Yeah, we don't have anyone between the queen and the guardians and the warriors and the slaves there. Slaves? I don't know. The charm victims, whatever we call them.
Yep. Your slaves fall.
Yeah. They're slaves.
And you know what? Bad on her. Bad on her for doing that. She should not have done that. And I am personally quite cross.
I mean, that feels to me like a very nice hook, honestly, for the to get the players in here is to have like, hey, so and so was abducted or went missing, and sure enough, they're in here in a beekeeper suit.
Right. And you could lay clues that giant bees are involved, and then when it turns out that they're ice bees, that's a whole, you've thrown a monkey wrench at the players like that.
The way I want to introduce this to my players is down at the local village, the local beekeeper has gone missing. Can you please go rescue him? You drag him down to this location.
Our victims are called drones, is what I'm being told. Our victims are told. Victims in Area 6 are drones, yeah.
Excellent.
Thank you, guys.
I'm going to just write that note in there so we could get that text in there when...
Perfect.
Great. Great. There you go, Dan. We pumped one out. That was fun.
Good job. Good for us. And thank you, viewers, for helping us out. There were some great ideas there.
Yeah, I really, honestly, this is not a thing that's normally part of our process for making adventures on the side. Normally, I don't do it with an audience. but honestly, I really like the impact. I love all the viewers giving us ideas. That helped a lot, kept us rolling forward. So thank you, everyone in the chat, for doing that. We will polish up this thing, and we will distribute it for free to all our patrons. And we will put it up on our drive-through as well for anybody who would rather just pick it up for cheap.
Correct.
Once it's all,
and that worked out really well last time. And we're really happy to get the feedback that is something that that folks want to see. So if you want to see more of that in the future, leave a comment. We really enjoy this. And we also have ideas for maybe a bigger thing, or maybe a wilderness thing, or maybe an aquatic thing. And see how you want to challenge us next time. We'd like to hear that.
Yeah, definitely. Leave us some comments here in the video, viewers. Tell us what did you like, what did you not like, what are you still confused about our process of making these things? What would you like to see in the future? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
Definitely, yes. And, you know, if you're new to the show and you haven't seen this before, remember that you can like, follow, and subscribe to us. We're the Wandering DMs, and we're on YouTube and Twitch and Twitter and Facebook and also GitHub. And we do have the handle Wandering DMs on all of those sites. So look for us there.
Please do. If you prefer to just listen to us in the audio-only format, then you're missing out because you're not seeing the map and you're not watching us frenetically type things. But you could do that. You could do it. Podcasts of our show are available on our website at wanderingdms.com, also through various carriers such as Google Podcast, iTunes, Spotify. If you're listening to us on one of those sites, please take a moment to rate and review our show on that site. That helps other users of that site find us, and we really appreciate it.
Wow, there's still great comments going on in the chat right there. Our viewers have come around to the phrase "power behind the drone," which is like, wow, I would not right? That's gold. That's brilliant.
That is anyway. I think we're retitling this thing right away. Go on.
Yeah, right. That might be the new title. Okay. Now, thanks to all of our viewers and patrons who support the show. And if you'd like to join them, please visit patreon.com/wanderingdms. And we do have several tiers with discounts on merch, access to a private Discord server, monthly behind-the-scenes videos, polls, and surveys, and after-party chat on our Discord server that we'll be holding in about 10 minutes from now. Paul, you're on tomorrow with TDR. Am I right? Yes.
Yes, we will be doing one very last look at 10 Dead Rats, where all of us who have played the campaign are going to sit back and chat about what worked, what didn't work, what questions we still have, and just kind of retrospect on the whole campaign and introduce what we will be doing going forward. So come join us tomorrow night at 8 p.m. right here on Wandering DMs.
Fantastic. I will personally be looking forward to that. But don't forget, of course, we are live every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. So please join us again next week for another thought-provoking discussion.
We'll see you then.